every praise, every word of worship. Amen and amen. It feels so good worshiping in one accord. I thought, in light of that song, maybe sometime you can read it on your own, Psalms 148. In short, it's saying every praise is to our God. And if you read through it, it says, praise the Lord from the heavens, the heights, his angel, the host, sun, moon, stars are to praise him. Heaven of heavens, water above the heaven. And then it says the earth, the great sea creatures, fire, hail, snow, clouds, stormy wind, mountains, hills, fruitful trees, cedars, beasts, all cattle, creeping things, I'm not sure what that is, creeping things, flying fowl, and then kings of the earth, all people, princes and all judges, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. So every praise does belong to God, all of his creation. And certainly you and I, men, women, old, young, those in authority, under authority, would you join your voice with your brothers and sisters and let's let every praise go to him. Every praise go to the Lord Jesus Christ, for we're celebrating him. Amen. And I'm so thankful that we have this time and place to join and unite in worship. But I'm also glad that when we leave here, we can still continue to give him praise through your daily routine that's ahead and into the new year as God tarries his coming day by day with your words and your lifestyle both. Every praise goes to him. Amen. While you're standing, let me direct your attention to Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 1. And as we look to the word of the Lord, I pray that this message would reach you with God's anointing and that you would have an open mind, heart, and spirit to receive what God has for you. In Ecclesiastes, the wise man simply wrote, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And I, for my message, just want to pose this question today. What time is Christmas? What time is Christmas? And would you join with me in prayer that God would let us hear from him? Lord, I appreciate so much this day, this time, and certainly, Lord, this atmosphere. And I know your word and your spirit are able to unite as we've given our praise and offered our faith, unite in such a way that ministry takes place. And I pray for every heart to be renewed at this Christmas season as they put fresh faith in you. And I ask this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Scientists tell us that for those of us that live north of the equator, that the longest night of the year is December 21st. The winter solstice. But of course, every kid knows that that's not the longest night of the year. The longest night of the year is 3 days later, today's date, December 24th, as they go to bed and wait for Christmas time to arrive. As Alvin and the Chipmunks sing, we can hardly wait. Please, Christmas, don't be late. Maybe you can remember as a kid with wide-eyed wonder waking up your parents long before your normal waking time to ask them, is it Christmas yet? And probably that's going to happen to some parents in the early morning hours tomorrow, maybe. But is it Christmas time yet? Well, we don't know the actual date that Christ was born, but God did specifically choose the time when Jesus Christ would come to earth. Galatians tells us that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son made of a woman. And Luke's gospel tells us when Mary and Joseph got to Bethlehem, the days were accomplished or completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son on that particular day, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. And the angel proclaimed to those shepherds, as we've been celebrating here today, on that day, good tidings of great joy, and told them that on that day was born unto them and all the world a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. The reality of Christmas is not Rudolph or Santa or Frosty or Scrooge or Charlie Brown's Christmas or any other else person's Christmas. The reality of Christmas is Jesus Christ. That's what it's all about. That's who it's all about. And the message of Jesus Christ brings hope for all mankind. To everyone who will receive, to everyone who will believe, his salvation brings peace and goodwill. And in light of the joy and the hope and the peace and the goodwill that Jesus Christ brings, I'm submitting today that Christmas is a time to renew your faith. It's a time for fresh perspective, a time to, I'll say it this way, revive the wonder of your experience, the wonder of your faith in the living God. Christmas is a time to renew that faith. I know we're living in a day of increased knowledge and also advancement in science and medicine. And when you think about it, in the midst of all the logic and human rationale, the voice of faith can sound kind of feeble. We're living with all the emphasis on the theory of evolution. And so when you lift your voice to say, I believe in a creator who brought me into existence, that can kind of get drowned out and sound so feeble. To say that you believe in Jesus Christ in a day of test tube babies and biogenetics, that virgin birth of Jesus sounds kind of like a Grimm's fairy tale. To say that you believe that Christ grew up and went to Calvary and gave his life and buried and resurrected and ascended, that may sound to some like science fiction or maybe a Hollywood movie script. Anything that must be accepted by faith seemingly in this age is subject to ridicule because everyone wants facts and proof and evidence. Belief based on God and his word is just kind of dismissed as emotional weakness. Well, that's just your crutch. That's just your way of handling life's difficulties and going through that. But even in the church world, the voice of faith can seem frail. And I use church world in quotations to encompass all denominations because there are Christians that really don't believe that the Bible is totally accurate in all of his teachings. There are some in denominations that believe that. Some don't believe that Jesus lived a sinless life or that he literally returned from the dead. So in a world of doubt and scorn, it is possible. I hope that it doesn't happen, but it is possible for those who believe to become intimidated, to become hesitant or tentative, even reticent about the expression of their faith. But I say let Christmas be a time to renew your faith, that there is a God. There is a God who created us all, and there is a God who is Lord of us all. At Christmas time, you can renew your faith in him, and you can renew your faith in his word. There's a verse of scripture, it's really a prayer of the psalmist, 119 verse 8. And I would suggest that you even pray this prayer when you read your Bible. And if you're looking ahead to 2018 already, I might mention that those of you that like a Bible reading chart, we have them in the lobby. And I know there are all kinds of plans on websites and Bible apps. But I hope that you have that goal to read through the Bible. And as you do, Psalms 119 verse 8 says this, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things out of your law. And so as you're reading the scripture and letting your faith in it be renewed, let your eyes be shown by God wondrous things about him, wondrous things about your relationship with him, wondrous things about your purpose for being here and how you can help and bless others and serve in the kingdom of God. At Christmas time, renew your faith that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Renew your faith this Christmas that, oh Lord, forever is your word settled in heaven. It's not going to change. Renew your faith as Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This is a golden opportunity, not the only one, but Christmas certainly provides it for us to renew our faith, to get fresh wonder about him and his word. And not only that, but even to renew your faith in God's love. We have to remember that the reason Jesus Christ came was because God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. And I believe I could state it to you this way, and I would not be doing injustice to the scripture to make it personal. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, he did it for all of humanity, but you've got to take it personally. You've got to recognize that he came for you. He sent his only begotten son. It was out of love that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. It was out of love that God revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ, because we know God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. That was his entire mission. And beyond Christ's birth, there's lots of evidence that God loves you. One of the primary things to remember is he says he loves you. And God always says what he means, right? He always says what he means. He also loves you. You can know this because you're never out of his sight. He knows everything about you, the path in life that you're taking. The psalmist said he's acquainted with all of your ways. You're never out of his sight. You can know he loves you because he cares about every detail of your life. He knows your name. Now, I don't have the advantage of knowing all the thoughts and feelings that are rushing through you on this Sunday morning, but God knows in an instant what everybody's thinking and feeling and anticipating. He knows your name. He knows, as the scripture tells us, the very number of hairs on your head. He loves you and knows the details of your life. You can know he loves you because he's patient with you, gracious, full of compassion. And you can know he loves you because he has good plans for your life. Look at Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. The Lord says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. It's kind of nice to know that God's thinking of us. Do you ever get a note sometimes in the mail? Maybe these days it'd be an email or a text, but just thinking of you. This scripture tells us that God is thinking about us, and they are thoughts of peace and not evil. They are thoughts to give you a future and a hope. He loves you today and has a plan for your life. There's a purpose for every individual here. And the primary purpose is that we would have that second birth of being born of water and of spirit. And if you've not enjoyed that, God has it for you. He wants you to have it. He wants you to experience it. And then beyond that, he has a place for you in his kingdom. He has something for each of us to do. So Christmas is a perfect time to renew his love in you, or the fact that he does love you. And I have to say this, that the greatest expression of his love is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon Calvary. Romans says God commends or demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He could show no greater love for you than to go to the cross. And there again, he went to the cross for everybody, but you have to look at it this way. If you were the only person in need of redemption, Jesus Christ still would have gone to the cross. That's how personally we must take Calvary. Don't get lost in the sea of humanity and think, well, it's just something kind of nebulous and out there. No, it's a personal thing. He went to the cross for you. And he could show no greater love than that, giving his life. So Christmas is a perfect time to renew your faith in God's love. It's an everlasting love. It's an overflowing love. And I'm glad to preach, it's an unconditional love. Loves you no matter what. And I know sometimes when we hear that, we start thinking, well, what about this, or what if that, or how come, or over here. Forget all that. He just loves you, period. He loves you, period. And Christmas is a time to renew your faith in that love. And then also, Christmas is a time to renew your faith in God's miraculous power. Anybody believe in miracles in 2017? I don't want to burst your bubble, but you know, in that world out there, you might be in the minority, but I'm saying don't lose your faith in God's miraculous power. I know it's 2017. I know that there's all kinds of human thinking out there that decries it and goes against it, but don't lose your faith in God's miracle working power. When Mary asked Gabriel how she as a virgin could possibly bear a son, he answered, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Jesus entered this world by means of a miraculous birth. And what we must realize is the Spirit of God that moved on the face of the waters in the beginning of time and said, "Let there be light," that was the same power that moved on Mary. And you can be sure everything about Jesus is miraculous, from his birth to his ascension, and that same power is what hovers over situations, circumstances, people to bring about miracles in the year 2017. Don't lose your faith in God's miraculous power. It's time to look to Jesus Christ with fresh faith for the miraculous, fresh faith for the supernatural, because everything about him is miraculous. And I know it's very human, just a natural thing for us to doubt. In fact, in reading the Christmas story, you'll notice that Mary had some doubt when she was told this by Gabriel. She said, "How shall this be? How in the world can this possibly happen?" And I remembered Sarah in the Old Testament. If you don't know her story, she was married to Abram, and God promised them a child in the time of life when they could no longer have children. And when Sarah was given that promise, you can read it there in Genesis, she laughed. Now, in fairness to her, I don't think she was laughing at God, but she was laughing at the idea. It was preposterous. It was just beyond any human comprehension, she knew that it just couldn't happen, humanly speaking, and so she found it laughable. But you'll notice in that passage, God sobered her up real quick with this question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And maybe somebody today, just figuratively speaking, you've looked at some circumstances and just quite honestly in your spirit, you're laughing at it. Again, not at God, but just, no way. That just can't happen. That just can't change. That just can't be turned around. Would you just take a serious look at that situation with this question in mind? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Yeah, it's beyond our ability. Yeah, it's beyond what we can do. Yeah, it's beyond what we understand, but nothing is too hard for the Lord. Why don't you renew your faith in God's miracle-working power at this Christmas season and know that He still can do the supernatural? He really can. If you were here last Sunday night, you know that there was a testimony shared by Sarah Dennis. I believe she had to be out of town for the holidays. And she told how that in July of 2016, over a period of weeks, her hand had actually drawn up and it was withered, just like we might read in the Bible. And on a Sunday morning service in July, about a year and a half ago, there was a message preached on God's miraculous power. And during that, Sarah was approached and prayed with. And while she was in this church service, this very sanctuary, I missed that day, but I'm assuming she was over here where she normally is, her hand was miraculously healed. And she's got pictures on Facebook to demonstrate what God did. God still performs miracles. And then she said while that healing was taking place, she still had a place in her neck, and Sister Smith is here today, unbeknownst to all that. She told us last Sunday night, I was thinking if somebody would just lay their hand on my neck, I have faith that God will heal that part too. And Sister Smith came up behind her, laid her hand on that very spot on her neck, and God healed that just like that in this very sanctuary. I'm saying don't lose your faith in God's miracle working power. He's alive. He's real. He is the Almighty and can do all things. God still is reaching and drawing and doing great things. We have one of our students in high school that did form a Bible club, and it's called Project 7 with the United Pentecostal Church, and she got permission to do this. This is Allison Trask, by the way, and she went through all the channels, and there was a girl that had moved up from Florida with her family, had some little background with Pentecostalism, and this young lady had been praying in this new area, St. Louis Metro, for a church to attend. And in a time of prayer, God spoke to her three letters, APC. And the high school girl did not know what that meant. She just kind of tucked it away in the back of her mind. She heard the announcement, I believe over the intercom, if I got the story straight. Anyway, the Bible club was announced. Anybody wanted to come? And so she came to the Bible club, met Allison, asked Allison where she went to church, and I guess just out of habit, Allison answered, APC. You can imagine what that young girl felt as she realized, that's it. That's what God was talking about. And Allison has formed a relationship with her and even met the family. I'm just telling you, God knows where people are. If they're hungry and seeking, don't doubt the miraculous. God knows how to reveal Himself to folks that really want to know Him, that really have a desire to have a relationship with Him. He knows how to do those things. This is a time to renew our faith in God, His Word, and certainly His miraculous power at Christmas time. Also, it's a time to renew our belief in the gifts of the Spirit. They are given to the church to edify the church and one another. And I learned earlier this month that our pastor over in Bethalto, Brother Mark Burke, some of you may even know him. He's bivocational and actually does our HVAC work sometimes when we need a little help. And his wife, Rhonda, was praying earlier this month, and God spoke to her in this time of prayer about a man named Marvin Walker. Some of you remember him. He's preached here before. I worked with him for a number of years in Bible quizzing. Rhonda had only met him once, and Brother Walker's wife maybe a handful of times or even less, two or three. So didn't really know him, point being. And in prayer, God spoke to Rhonda that she should let Brother Walker know that he needed to not ignore his heart, get urgent help, specifically on the left side. Now, I'm friends with Brother Walker's son, too, and he'll tell you, Brother Walker hardly goes to the doctor for anything. But once this message came, he confessed to his family, and he's so, I guess he's got a lot of German in him or something. He won't hardly tell anybody anything. But he had had some discomfort for a number of days in his chest, but just wouldn't tell the family. So when they learned that and got this word of knowledge from Sister Rhonda Burke, they headed off to the hospital. He was admitted, tests were shown, and it was discovered that the main artery on the left side was over 80% blocked. And they were able to insert a stent and avoid bypass surgery. And the doctor said this, that if he had ignored it and gone on a previously scheduled trip, that it would have been fatal. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. That was a word of knowledge that God gave our pastor's wife about someone who needed the help. So I'm simply saying, don't doubt God. Don't doubt His Word. Don't doubt His love. Don't doubt His miracle working power. He's alive in 2017. Though we're rubbing shoulders with scoffers and unbelievers, hold on to your faith and let Christmas time be a time to renew your faith in Him. Believe in the gifts of the Spirit. They're not human. They're divine. They're not natural. They are supernatural and extraordinary. And renew your faith in the truths that nothing is too hard for the Lord. And that with God, all things are possible. This is a time to have renewed faith. It's a time to be filled with wonder and excitement over the birth of Jesus Christ. But it goes far beyond that because of the message He brings of hope and joy and salvation and peace and goodwill. And we can know this. God is real. God loves you. His word is forever settled and true. And He does have miracle working power. If you want to have an open heart to renewed faith today, would you lift a hand toward heaven and just in your words begin praying and asking God to renew faith in your heart. To renew your confidence in Him. To renew your belief in His Word. I'm not suggesting that anybody has doubted, but sometimes the cares of life can just wear us down. And we rub shoulders with people who aren't believers. And sometimes they take some of the joy. They take some of the wonder. But with that hand stretched toward heaven, would you just ask God, Lord, I pray for this congregation with their hands lifted now. I pray that You would let faith be renewed. Let joy be renewed. Let confidence be renewed. Let the wonder of an experience with You be renewed in hearts today. Be born in us anew and afresh this day, we pray. Oh, I want to believe in Him. I want to have confidence in Him. I want to trust Him. I want to know that He is working on our behalf. And as I close this message, if you have a particular request, I know that we prayed a little bit earlier, but if there's something on your heart, your mind, maybe you would define it a miracle. To me, that's something that, you know, God working in a supernatural way outside the bounds of the natural, but however you want to define it, if you need something, I'd invite you just to stand right where you are and let that need be represented. And we're going to offer faith around here in this closing prayer, just asking God to meet needs in this house. If you have any particular need that you want to represent, it may not be personal, it can be for someone else. I know a number of you have needs and family things that you're praying about, people that have, just all over this place. And it may not be everybody. I recognize that. In fact, once we've given another moment or two, looks like it's about half and half. Those of you that are seated, if you'd be kind enough to go to somebody that's nearby you and just lay a hand on a shoulder, if that's appropriate. I want us to just let faith flow through this house and just allow God to minister for a few more moments in the way that He alone can do. Would you do that? Pray with faith, pray with confidence, pray with renewed belief in the Lord Jesus Christ and His miracle working power. Lord, all across this sanctuary. All across this sanctuary, there are people with needs. We're trusting You, believing You, having confidence in You. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That's it. Use your faith. Use your faith. Use your faith. God, miracles can take place in the year 2017. Miracles can take place in the year 2017. Miracles can take place in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Pray. Pray with faith. Pray with confidence. Oh, we believe. We believe. We believe. We believe. Oh, Lord, in Your precious name. In Your precious name. In Your precious name. In Your precious name. That's it. That's it. Exercise faith. Exercise faith. God, whether it can happen here or whether you need to set things in place for the future, however you want to do it, we're putting faith in You. We're putting confidence in You. We trust You. We trust You. We trust You. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All will see.